This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. For the rest of the show, we're going to be talking about Generation X. Coming between the baby boomers and millennials, members of Gen X were born from roughly 1965 to 1980. We were the last analog generation, and we came of age in a world of contrasts, an exuberant culture, but one that also seemed to be coming apart.
See this cute little vial here? It's crack, rock cocaine, the most addictive form. You think it's the glamour drug of the 80s? Well, that's the point of this friendly little reminder. It can kill you.
In this lab at the National Institutes of Health, the new illness that has attracted much media attention called Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome, or AIDS, is being carefully studied. Dr. Anthony Fauci is hopeful that the answer to this dreaded disease may be in sight.
I believe now that we have the agent in hand, that the amount of effort and energy that's being put into it by biomedical sciences, that within a reasonable period of time, we'll have a lot of these answers.
Roger, copy. This is not an exercise.
Roger, understand. Major Reinhardt, we have a massive attack against the U.S. at this time. ICBMs. Numerous ICBMs. Roger, understand. Over 300 missiles inbound now.
Move the fleet away from the Death Star.
All right, Wedge, go for the power regulator on the North Tower.
Copy, Gold Leader. I'm already on my way out.
Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but what are you talking about?
The ending of Return of the Jedi.
My friend here is trying to convince me that any independent contractors who were working on the uncompleted Death Star were innocent victims when they were destroyed by the rebels.
I want my MTV!
I want my MTV!
I want my MTV!
I'm DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Hey, yo, I'm the Prince.
And I'm Ready Rock C.
Hold up, bust this. We want to let everybody know where it's at. It's right here. Yo, MTV Raps.
Star Wars, the ever-present threat of nuclear war, made horrifyingly vivid in the made-for-TV movie The Day After. Of course, the AIDS crisis and the ubiquitous war on drugs. This is the history and culture that defines the youth of one of America's smallest generational cohorts. That upbringing is going to be explored later this year in an exhibit at the Illinois State Museum. Growing Up X is scheduled to open in October. We're talking about it now, though, because the museum is looking to include members of Generation X in the development of the exhibit. Joining us to talk more about that is Erica Holst, curator of history at the Illinois State Museum in Springfield. Erica, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. Listeners, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455, especially if you are a member of Generation X, as I am. 800-222-9455. What defines the generation to you? You can also just tweet us at 21st Show. So, Erica, why an exhibit on Generation X? We're still alive, right?
I know, right? but in some ways, that's an advantage because we are able to really mine the memories and experiences of people who lived it. And enough time has passed, I think, that we Gen Xers can kind of look at our childhoods and kind of reflect on them and maybe put things in context and see how the things we grew up with made us the people that we are today.
All right, I want to come back to those things, right? The culture that we grew up with, but let's talk a little bit about the history. What are some of the historical touchstones for Generation X?
I think you covered a lot of them in the intros to this segment. Growing up in the shadow of the Cold War, where there's this like vague, ever-present threat of nuclear annihilation. And I remember The Day After, and it like having, you know,
me too. Yeah.
Get jittery hearing this, hearing it mentioned.
It still has, I will say, if people have not, I would seek out that movie. It still has the power to sort of shock, even though, you know, it's very much of the 80s and the special effects leave a lot to be desired by modern standards, but it is still shocking. But yeah, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's totally it. And that's the thing is that you probably saw it when you were a kid like I did. And so it's these things in culture that kind of seep into our consciousness without us really analyzing them at the time, but that we're still sort of living with those impressions today. Another one, the Just Say No to Drugs campaign. And as kids, you know, they handed us buttons that said Just Say No, and, you know, we wore them and we didn't realize we were part of this larger cultural and societal, you know, experiment to war on drugs that was like leading to the, you know, mass incarceration, particularly of people of color. We didn't know the ripples. Also the AIDS crisis. I know it had tremendous and negative impacts on people's perceptions of the LGBTQ community, particularly of gay men. And then for us as, you know, teenagers, we were raised by the, like, you know, hippie free love generation. And then all that comes to a screeching halt when we become of dating age and, you know, that the threat of AIDS is everywhere. And it made us be very kind of conservative and fearful.
Interesting. Fascinating. Yeah. So then let's talk a little bit about culture. So what are some of the cultural common spaces for our generation?
I think Gen Xers are really into their music and we're biased, but I think we would all agree amongst ourselves that we have the best music of any generation. So certainly that, you know, 80s and 90s music, the movies that are still iconic, you know, the Ferris Bueller's, the Indiana Jones, the Star Wars, and also the TV shows, for good or ill, you know, they shaped us. They also presented a certain message to us about, you know, what people should look like and what people should act like. So again, just taking that and reflecting on it now from an adult standpoint, 40 years later, I think will be kind of the learning and growing part of the exhibit.
All right, I want to go now to the phones. Keith is calling in from Chicago. Keith, thank you for the call.
Thank you for having me. I think what really defines Generation X, we were the first generation to go to school together. If you think about it, Brown versus Board of Education wasn't really fully enforced until 1970. So individuals born in Generation X, such as ourselves, were the first generation to go to everything from grade school to our postgraduate work together. And that had a fundamental impact on society. You didn't have others who'd gone to school with people from the former Soviet Union or from the Middle East or from Southeast Asia or Latin America in the same way, or individuals even as close as home who were from Native American nations or who were of black or white descent, all going to school together. And that had a fundamental impact on culture and language. And I think this is why Generation X was so transformative.
That's a great point, Keith. And thank you so much for calling in with that. Erica, what do you think about that in terms of, you know, across ethnicity or race or culture? We were, you know, one of the first more integrated, I don't know, fully integrated, I guess the earliest part of Gen X. There were still a lot of fights, especially in northern cities, about integration. But, you know, take that where you will.
No, I think that's an amazing point. I'm actually typing it into my planning document right now because I think that's a great point to have raised and a great angle. And it's making me reflect on my own childhood and, you know, having gone to school with classmates and friends of color and how that affected me. And it also leads me to think that Title IX is something that something to be explored too, you know, the idea that all of a sudden sports and everything is accessible to girls and how did that change the way people perceived girls' roles in school and the opportunities available to us.
Absolutely. You know, Erica, it strikes me that white Gen Xers and black Gen Xers might have a different set of cultural benchmarks and life experiences, right? How are you approaching the idea of inclusivity as you're putting together this exhibit?
Well, that's where our survey comes into play. We are trying to get the word out as far and wide as possible to get people, Gen Xers throughout Illinois, to respond to our survey. And so far we've gotten a really healthy response, which is wonderful. And so we really want to make sure that the experiences and memories that we're featuring in this exhibit are broadly representative and inclusive. So it doesn't skew too far in one direction. And yeah, you know, like I grew up in a fairly white middle-class suburb, so, you know, I need to be careful not to let my personal perspective as a Gen Xer, you know, drive the tone of the museum.
So can you talk a little bit about what in the museum space itself, the gallery space where you're going to have this exhibition, what sort of things are you envisioning for that?
We're envisioning, first of all, displays of all these cultural artifacts and touchstones, the toys, the technology, the cultural references to music and movies and TVs. And the idea is to see Gen X through the eyes of us as kids, you know, and to come at it from this experience of growing up surrounded by, you know, nobody sat us down and explained to us the politics of the, you know, the Cold War, the Soviet Union. To us, it came filtered through our G.I. Joe dolls and the, you know, and Red Dawn and that. So kind of that's the access point, is these artifacts from a Gen X childhood. And a big part of that is the technology. And that's what's kind of, I think, a fun angle, is that we grew up in this, you know, slice of what was then considered technological advancement. That's when the clunky old Apple IIe computers were starting to make their way into school computer labs, or if you were really lucky, you had one at home. And that's when, you know, we went from records to cassette tapes to CDs in the course of our lifetime. Or, you know, some of us had parents who got cell phones in the 90s for emergencies that were the size of big bricks. That there was this technological advancement that we kind of mastered as young people, but is now completely obsolete. You know, like, who remembers how to boot up a computer with floppy disks anymore? But we still might remember or have our memories jogged.
Yeah. Be kind, rewind, as they used
yes!
to say. Where does Generation X fit in terms of the broader American generational story, right? Boomers, millennials, they seem to get all the press, all the attention. Where do we fit in?
We're often overlooked, right? We're bookended by these two generations that are not only larger in terms of just like sheer numbers, but also seem to like have more kind of cultural oomph, and not to mention they're taking pot shots at each other over our heads on social media, and we kind of are laying low. So Generation X is sort of the, you know, it's one of the nicknames is the new lost generation. We sort of fly under the radar, and some of us like it that way. I've gotten some responses on the surveys. It's like, I don't know if I want an exhibit about us, you know, I don't know if we should be in the spotlight. We kind of like it just fine where we are.
Yeah, there's no OK Boomer that's like OK Xer yet. What about idea that we're a slacker generation? Is that something that, you see is a big part of the story? Have we overcome that image?
Yeah, that's something I'd like to explore, because that certainly was the, you know, the stereotype that was attached to us as young people. I want to see, you know, how it holds up, and we hope to build in places for reflection and even responses where Gen Xers now can kind of mine that idea. Like, do you feel like you're a slacker? How did that influence you growing up, and what's the result now? I would say personally, I don't think we are, you know, I think we kind of matured into responsible middle-aged citizens, but it would be interesting to explore that.
Yeah, responsible middle-aged citizens who are going to be maybe prompting some eye rolling from younger generations. We shall see. Well, if people want to contribute to this, right, you're seeking artifacts, also just stories and photos. How do they do that, Erica?
We have a link to a survey on our webpage, which is just IllinoisStateMuseum.org. So if you can click on that, we would just love if you took the survey, and especially if you're willing to put yourself out there and send us a photo in your acid wash jeans or members only jacket. We're hoping to make this a really visually rich exhibit as well, with as many faces and memories from Illinois Gen Xers as possible. So we want your photos, we want your memories, and we want to know if you've got an Apple IIe or an old VCR in your garage that you'd be willing to lend for the show.
Yeah, acid wash jeans, as my news director said. Why did somebody not stop us? Erica Holst is curator of history at the Illinois State Museum. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
Apologies.
The exhibit is called Growing Up X. It's going to be opening in October, but right now you can go to the Illinois State Museum's website. We'll have a link to that at our website, as well as a link to those free COVID tests I mentioned earlier from the government. You can find all that at our webpage, 21stshow.org. That's 21stshow.org. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skalark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.